Thanks, Derek. Those reflections are really, really helpful, and I think set exactly the tone that we were attempting to work at this past year. As Derek has mentioned, the last 2 years we've had a particular focus of an area that we wanted to develop new habits or additional habits or get better at a daily awareness of, in first, generosity, and then secondly, this past year in hospitality. One of the things that was most impactful for me as somebody who helped to plan and coordinate this was hearing the stories throughout both of those years when somebody would say, you know, I was in the store or I was driving along the road, and I remembered that we were in this year of focus on, in the first year was generosity, this past year on hospitality, and so I did this. I took a different action. And in this past year, it might have been I spoke to someone I might not have spoken to otherwise, or I gave somebody the benefit of the doubt that I might not have before, or it just gave me a time to step back and check my motives, because I knew that we were focusing on hospitality this year. And I was thinking, I think the Holy Spirit brought to our minds, what does it mean in this situation to offer welcome or blessing or relationship to this person? And as Derek said, part of the point of this, of holding this in front of ourselves for a full year, was giving the Holy Spirit enough time to begin to make changes and impact our lives. You know, as I thought about how to wrap up this morning and what to sort of bring before us, the one thing that stood out to me was something that Derek has already pointed to, and that is that this dynamic of receiving from God and then giving to other people is something that actually echoes down through the whole story of the Bible. And as I went back and I looked at my notes from the sermon I preached a year ago, I talked about that in that sermon, and the texts that I use I think are still helpful for us to be reminded of this morning. In Deuteronomy 6, at the end of the whole book of Deuteronomy is at the end of Moses' life as he's kind of wrapping things up with the children of Israel, and he's kind of giving them his concluding address, you might say, through the entire book. In chapter 6, one of the things he says to them is that he reminds them that they should never become so comfortable in the promised land, in this land that God had promised them, in which they were going to be settling. He said, never become so comfortable there that you forget that you were foreigners and strangers yourselves. And he's referring to Egypt, when they were still in Egypt. He says, never forget that you were foreigners and strangers. And so he says, your identity, God says to them, your identity as a people for all the generations to come should keep that in mind, should factor that in. In fact, you should think of yourselves forever and ever throughout the generations to come as slaves rescued by God. That's who you are. You're foreigners and strangers who were made near, welcomed by God. And so if you think about the festival of the Passover, if you think about the festival of the Feast of Booths, they both have those kinds of themes in them. You were rootless, you were homeless, you were helpless, and God rescued you. So it's almost as if he's saying, remember from this day forward that your life, life as you know it, is grounded in or began with receiving hospitality from God. Remember through all the generations to come that life as you know it began with a rescue on your behalf. You've been rescued, you've been redeemed. And for us today, we have a very similar memory, very similar parallel kind of notion, and that is that we were once far from God ourselves. We were once, the scriptures say, we were enemies of God. And yet we were brought near by the love of God and by the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And I think that same reminder applies to us. Remember that once you were far from God, you were a stranger to God and to his people. And yet in Jesus Christ, you were brought near. In chapter 10 of Deuteronomy, Moses goes on to say to the people, always look out for the foreigners and strangers among you, those who are today among you as foreigners and strangers, because they are now what you used to be. In other words, you should have a permanent strand of sympathy in your thinking, in your life, for people who are now where you were at one time. And so because you've received this hospitality from God, remember to always care for and extend hospitality to the foreigners and strangers among you, because that's partly how they'll understand God's love for them. That's partly how they'll know that God loves them, because God's people are loving them. So we receive hospitality from God, but we give hospitality, we extend hospitality. But when we do that, it's because, it's always a response. It's never because we're terrific or because we want to be famous. It's because we have in the back of our minds, we know the undercurrent of our lives is that everything we do is a response to God's grace and God's mercy to us. Well, this comes from mind to me. I was thinking about this past week, and as you know, this past week, the issue of immigrants and refugees is in the news, and this came to mind for me as we talk in our country about turning away refugees and immigrants, because I think that we must be forgetting that all of us are either immigrants or the descendants, children or descendants of immigrants. None of our families are originally from this country in which we live. And I think, have we forgotten that we all of our families came here at some point in some fashion? I also think that a bit much, or maybe too much of our thinking about immigration issues is shaped by fear and anxiety. And so as I think about these scriptures and about the kinds of habits that are formed in the lives of God's people throughout the centuries, about our awareness of ourselves as once being foreigners and strangers, I think then what does it mean for us to be paralyzed by fear or gripped by anxiety as we confront this issue of immigration? I know that that's going to be worse for us, unfortunately, in the time in which we live. If you get most of your news from the television or from Facebook, those kind of things tend to amp up the anxiety. And I would urge you, if that's true for you, to at least factor in more careful, thoughtful sources, maybe written sources, but also actual contact with real-life refugees. It's a lot easier to be upset about this issue as a thing up here, as a concept. But if you've met actual flesh-and-blood refugees, it makes a world of difference in how you think about this. And I think this is especially a problem for us as Jesus followers, because we've been called to live our lives focused on Jesus and to base our thinking and our actions on the love and the hope that he wants to fill us with. The scriptures tell us that God's love and his hope will dispel fear if we'll let it. Well, a quote I read from one Christian leader yesterday says about the current refugee crisis, "We have the opportunity to rescue, to help, and to bless some of the world's most oppressed and vulnerable families." And I think we had some personal experience of that as a congregation, or some shared experience of that in the two Christmas feasts that we've done over the last 2 years. We've had wonderful stories of the connections that we've been able to make with real human beings, real life people. Also this summer, our youth group went to Lancaster City. And I think one of the things that was really transformative as I listened to your stories about that trip was how transformative it was to be in contact with people from other countries, people who had come here and who were trying to make a new life here. As I thought about this, the song that we sometimes sing here came to my mind, and this refrain has been going through my mind that says, "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." If this is an issue that has stirred up fear and anxiety for you, maybe that's a phrase that you can sing to yourself as a comfort to your soul. "I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." I think that's one of the things that Jesus reminds us of in the first few verses of what Derek read for us this morning from Luke 14, where in verses 12 to 14, he says, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid." It's almost as though he's saying, I think what he means is don't only invite them. They shouldn't be the only people you have over to dinner, because if they're the people you have over to dinner, oh no, they might have you over, and that might be the extent of your repayment. But I think what he's saying is, instead, you should be inviting, making room for the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and if you do, you will be blessed. I think today we probably would add to that list the homeless, and we've made some efforts in that regard, people who are trapped in addictions. We might also add refugees to the list there. But I feel like here Jesus is saying to his followers, be on the lookout for people on the edges. Bless them. Befriend them. The truth is that you and I might be in those situations if our lives had worked out differently. If a few little shifts in our lives had worked out differently, you and I might be among them. And also, never forget that God's love and compassion are changing the ways that we think and we act if we'll let him. Peter says this in his first letter, in 1 Peter. He says, "Always remember that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood." In other words, you have been called by God. Your chosenness has to do with your call from God to be a priestly nation, to be a gathering that represents God to the world around us. I love the way Derek was saying at the beginning, wouldn't it be great if people were anticipating Christians moving in or hoping that a Christian would move into their neighborhood because our reputation for this kind of approach, this kind of mindset was so compelling that people were looking for Christians to move into their neighborhoods. I thought too, as we talked throughout the year about the habit of hospitality, it's almost as though we're talking about developing a posture of hospitality. And as I was trying to imagine what that would be like, it might be something like this, like an open hand where we approach people, open to them, rather than just a kind of a closed, you know, sort of frowning, sort of holding back from people, but that our posture would be one of openness or moving toward people rather than a posture of moving away and kind of keeping people at a distance. So that my first thought when I encounter a stranger or someone in need would not be, you know, sort of, okay, what's going on here? But it's one of moving toward people. And I think that's already been in place among us. I think it's something that we were just paying attention to this past year. The other thing I'm trying to learn as I go about my life I get interrupted by a new person or a new development, something breaks down or something doesn't work the way I had in mind, I think for many of us, our first impulse is to think, oh no, this is not how I saw my workday working out, or this is not how I saw my dinner working out, or my hike, or my workout, or my errands working out. This is terrible. What's God doing? You know, how could God let this happen to me? Rather, I think as people who've been shaped by this impulse, this call toward hospitality, I'm trying to learn that in those situations to say something a little less reactive, to say, huh, this is different. I wonder what God might be up to here. I wonder if there's a way that God might be trying to get my attention. I wonder if there's a situation here that, or, you know, God might be trying to say something either to this person, to me. I wonder what God's presence might be up to in this place. And as Derek said, maybe that would help me to be a little less grumbly about those situations, to do a little less grumbling. Well, we've taken this step of generosity, focus on generosity, a focus on hospitality. Our sense is that there is a third step for us, an additional step, probably a step that's further, deeper in the same direction. We're still working on the details there. I know some of you have been asking questions about that. But our sense is that it will have something to do with deepening our awareness of God's presence as we are more open to other God at work in other places. Both being more attuned to and aware of God's presence here among us, but also God's presence as we go about our lives and are in other places. So stay tuned. We'll continue to develop that, but that will be down the road a little bit. I want to end with a prayer, just asking the Lord to bless this effort and to lead us on. And so if you'll pray with me, I invite you to do that. Lord, on behalf of Mount Joy Mennonite Church, on behalf of all of us, each of us, Lord, I thank you for your patient and your abundant generosity toward us. I thank you that we are no longer far from you, that we are no longer enemies of yours. I thank you for the warm and gracious hospitality that you have extended to us, to your people, the welcome, the blessing, the relationship that you have extended to us. What an amazing privilege, oh God, to be chosen by you and to be promoted to be your representatives. What an amazing and humbling responsibility, O God. Thank you for the privilege of the ways you have blessed us, but also for the invitation that you've extended to us to be generous ourselves, to reflect your generosity, to be people who reflect your hospitality to the people around us. I thank you for the ways that you have led us as a congregation and as individuals in the past. We invite you to continue to lead us on, to lead us into the next step you had for us, Lord. We invite you to guide us, to give us insight, and to keep developing the maturity of our faith, our ability to see ahead and where you are leading and calling. But also, Lord, develop within us the courage that we need to follow you faithfully. We invite you to develop as well within us your love for the people around us, so that the things that we do, as Derek said, might not be things we have to do, but things that we get to do. The ways that we cooperate with you, Lord, we know that those things bring great joy to us, and I pray that you would continue to develop our capacity there. Lord, I ask you to extend and multiply the impact of the hospitality that we've extended this past year, that we've been part of, not just that we've extended, but that we have received as well. Lord, extend and multiply that impact within us and among us. And may the ripples from the interactions represented by these keys and all of the acts that were undertaken that didn't make it onto the board, Lord, may those interactions ripple out and continue to impact and spread in many directions. Lord, use them to extend the reach of your kingdom within us and among us, we pray. Amen. I'm going to conclude my comments with reading through this prayer that's in your bulletins. It's called a hospitality prayer, and it's written in the first person. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read through it a bit slowly as a prayer, and I'm going to invite you as you listen to respond in your own heart, in your own mind, to embrace the phrases here that stand out to you. You may take this with you, and it can be a keepsake for you from today and as a memory of this year. But let's continue to pray this prayer and prayers like this as we go forward from this year. So let's pray together. As I said, you can echo the phrasings here in your own heart as the Holy Spirit draws your attention to particular parts. Help me, O God. Help me, O God, to be a gracious host to anyone and to everyone you send into my life. Help me in my relationships with people to create a safe place for them. A place where they can lay down their burdens and find rest. A place where they can breathe freely and deeply and simply be. A place where they can express themselves without fear of criticism. Where they can share not just their faith, but their doubts. Not just their joys, but their sorrows. Not just their peace, but their frustrations. Oh God, create in me such confidence in your Spirit that I would give him room to work, that I would let some things go unsaid so that he might have the chance to speak. That I would respect the work he's doing in another person's life, taking off my shoes and stepping lightly, for that is holy ground.